NBA Eastern Conference Finals Game 4 coming up tonight. And to talk about that and more, we're joined by Kyle Draper of NBC Sports Boston. Hello there, Kyle.
Hey, what's up, Rich? How you doing today, man?
I'm some fired up for this one tonight, especially after the Game 3 performance. What worked for the Celtics in that one?
Well, they came out with a sense of purpose, right? They came out, you know, focused. And I give a lot of credit to Jaylen Brown. I thought he set the tone on both ends of the floor. And, you know, it's one thing when you're LeBron or Durant or some of these other guys. Maybe you can coast, but the Celtics, you know, this is supposed to be a gritty, hard-nosed team. And you know, I think when they get too comfortable, when they, get too relaxed, that's when they, struggle. And we've seen that in Game 1 and 2. But for the most part of Game 3, they stayed focused, kept the foot on the pedal, kept the gas on, the Miami Heat, and really frustrated the Heat and took them out of their game. And so they got to do the same thing tonight.
Also had great success at getting that ball in the paint, and I would think that'll be crucial again tonight as well.
Yeah, exactly. And this is something Scal mentions all the time on the pregame show. And, you know, even if you don't get the layup or score in the paint, just getting it to the paint gets the defense moving. And then you can kick out for the open threes. And where the Celtics win it, the problem is when they start dancing with the ball outside the three-point line, or there's no ball movement, or they just pass it around the perimeter. And so one thing we saw in Game 3 is every time a guy got the ball, he was driving into the paint, looking to either score or make the right pass. And they got to continue to do that. Just attack. Like, Miami's a great defensive team, but they don't have great individual defenders. So I think the Celtics can exploit that here tonight.
How much difference did it make to have Gordon Hayward back out there for 30 minutes in Game 3?
And I thought it was huge. And, you know, people will look at his box score and see, what, 6 points, five rebounds, whatever it is. But the thing about Gordon that I really love is he usually makes the right play. You know, and sometimes he's unselfish to a fault, I might add. But, you know, when Gordon's out there, the ball doesn't stick. He makes the right pass or he'll take the shot. And no offense to, you know, guys like Jimmy Ogilvy, but you got a former all-star player now that you add back to the mix. And there's a reason why Gordon Hayward is a max contract player. And so I just think he loosens things up. You know, passing is contagious. You know, if one guy's passing or two guys are passing, then, you know, the third and fourth guy wants to start moving the ball as well. So, you know, that's one thing we saw in Game 3. The ball movement was especially great as compared to Games 1 and 2.
Kyle Draper of NBC Sports Boston with us here on Downtown. So who has to play well for the Celtics to get a win tonight?
I really think Jaylen Brown is the X factor, you know? Because, you know, Tatum will get you 25 points. Kemba will get you anywhere from 18 to 23. But I feel like Jaylen Brown is sort of the barometer for this team. If Jaylen is engaged on both ends of the floor, we saw that happen a lot in the Toronto series. Maybe not as much in Game 2, but we saw it in Game 3. If Jaylen plays at an elite level, a high level, the Celtics will win. If he gets lost in the shuffle, if he doesn't get touches, if the ball starts sticking and doesn't get around to him, then I think they'll struggle. But keep an eye on Jaylen Brown. If Jaylen's having a great game, to me that means the Celtics are playing well.
Are the Celtics okay with the ball in Jay Crowder's hands? Would they just as soon see him try to do it all tonight for Miami?
I think they're okay with Jay Crowder having to make decisions, but I don't think they're okay with Jay Crowder being the catch-and-shoot guy. Jay Crowder's actually had a phenomenal playoff so far. But, you know, if I'm in Boston, I want Jay Crowder to be dribbling the ball. I want him to try to get out of his comfort zone and maybe try to do too much. But if he's just standing in the corner or on the wings, you know, touching and shooting threes, I don't like that defense necessarily. But, you know, let's talk about the defense on Goran Dragic in Game 3. I thought that was key also. Mm. And so, you know, if you're looking at Miami, the key for me, you know, obviously they got the shooters, but Goran Dragic has arguably been their second-best player behind Bam Adebayo in the series so far. If you bottle Dragic, though, I think that's a good sign for themselves.
And I feel like when the offense is clicking, too, it's when you see much more movement, guys moving without the ball and not, as you said, just standing out with the ball tucked under the arm waiting to make that move.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think, you know, sometimes the Celtics get in a habit of trying to hit the big shot or, you know, the deep three or, you know, trying to, you know, get into their bag and be on SportsCenter or something like that. You know, we always say, you know, there's a bounce pass or the pass doesn't lead to highlight. It's always a slam dunk or a big three-pointer. And I think sometimes the Celtics fall in love with that, you know, especially Tatum. And I'm going to throw Kemba Walker in there, too. You know, I think these guys have to trust each other, trust that, you know what, if I pass the ball, I'll get it back eventually. You know, at times, and we saw it late in game four, you know, and that's why Miami made the run to cut it to five. Celtics got back into that dancing with the ball, one-on-one street ball, and that's not going to get it done.
Is it a whole new series if the Celtics get the win tonight?
Oh, I think so. Can you imagine tied up at two, best of three from here on out? And if you're a Celtics fan, you got to feel good. But, you know, I expected them to come out fired up and ready to go for game three. Their backs were against the wall. To me, this is the key game because they've had a few days off. Are they feeling good about themselves? Do they relax a little bit? And how does Miami adjust also? Does Miami feel like they let one slip away? Are they going to be the hungry team tonight? So I think we're in for a great basketball game tonight.
We'll touch on a couple other things while we have you here. There are no such thing as good losses. I understand that. But at the same time, for the Patriots, with so many new faces on the roster, to go out to Seattle against a Super Bowl contender and play as well as they did, I think that has to bode well for this season.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not necessarily a good loss, but it's a telling loss, right? We learned, you know, Cam Newton can throw the ball still, you know, his arm strength is phenomenal. We got some weapons that I didn't think about. You know, I didn't think Berg would be this good. I didn't think Nikhil Harry would have 8 receptions on 12 targets. And so give Cam credit. He's spreading the ball around. With that being said, Russell Wilson did still shred them for 5 touchdown passes. But I think this Patriots team is going to be better than I expected. I'm not saying going 12-4 or a true Super Bowl contender, but there's no reason why they shouldn't be challengers for the division title. You know, I think the division, Buffalo is obviously, you know, playing well right now. But, you know, I predict a 9-7, 10-6 maybe for the Patriots. And so they're a little bit better than I expected.
Yeah, and I feel like for Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, the opportunity to do some different things on offense must be kind of fun after all these years.
Yeah, exactly. You can get creative, right, with Cam Newton back there. You know, you could do the run-pass option play. You know, you could give the ball to Cam and let him make plays with his feet. And so you sort of open up the playbook a little more with a guy like Cam Newton there. And I mentioned this before the season. You need a player like Cam because although the weapons are better than I thought they'd be, this is still not an elite wide receiving corps. So you need a quarterback that not only can beat you with his arm, but beat you with his legs. And that's what we're seeing from Cam Newton.
Been a rough season for the Red Sox, but I'm impressed with the fact that at least down the stretch here with nothing to play for, but they're playing pretty hard, and it looks like they're going to finish strong and get some decent pitching from some of the new guys.
Yeah, exactly, and that's you know, I've mentioned all along, this is sort of a fact-finding season for the Red Sox, right? It's a long season in terms of, you know, trying to go for a World Series title. But if you're Hein Bloom in the Red Sox organization, you have to look at what you have on your roster and which young players you can see going forward. You know, Houck has been great in his first couple of starts, and so I look for him to be in the rotation next year, next season. And so you're starting to find a couple of pieces that, you know what, they can help us going forward. And, you know, we had talked so much about the farm system being decimated and, you know, they're not having any young guys, but that's proven not to be the case. They do have some young options that we should see with the big league club next year.
All eyes tonight, though, on the bubble down in Orlando. Game 4, Celtics and the Heat, 7:30 for Celtics pregame live.
Yes, 7:30, and guess what? We got Danny Ainge joining us tonight, so we have a live conversation with Danny Ainge, so I hope everybody tunes in.
We'll be there for it. Kyle, thanks for making time for us, as always, and we'll visit with you again next week.
All right, Rich, take care, man. Thanks.
That's Kyle Draper, NBC Sports Boston.